Hold on, let me get to hold on. Yeah. Go for it. Hold on, let me get there. Hold on. Nah. All right, go ahead. But you keep going. Yeah, one more verse.
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you should have them.
Yeah, you missed one word in the first one, but it's good. Come on, who next? Come on. I'm gonna get around to everybody before it's over with. Good. Yes.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, but shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things in which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have so whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them and you shall have them.
You were close though. You missed a couple words in the first one. And the second one, yeah. Nah, you don't say it over right now. We'll get it for those. I said this in my last class, they're doing the same thing. You know, it's time to get paid, right? Check time, right? Time to get your check for working, whatever. Are you getting paid for whatever you sold or whatever? And they say, I forgot a couple of the dollars. I forgot a few of the dollars. I ain't got exactly right. I ain't got the amount exactly right. I left a few of them out. Right? That's what I said. I left a few hundred dollars out. But I'm close to the time to tear it down. I'm on the exact. Yeah. No, well, come back when you got it right. Y'all get my point?
Yes, sir.
You want it right when you want it right. There's a reasoning to, especially in this class, Living by the Book, there's a reason to do this. Going over it over and over again puts it on the inside of you. And I want it specifically like it's written because you want everything specifically like you want it. Huh? You could buy a shirt. You don't want one sleeve. Unless you buy a shirt, just one sleeve. But you want the whole thing. You purchase something, you pay for 3 pounds, you want all 3 pounds. Huh? Straight up. And so it's the same principle, and there's a level of commitment that it takes to get it that specific. I know what it say, I know where it's at. I know the gist of it. Nobody don't need your gist. Your faith is not accomplished by getting the gist of something. It's by knowing it. John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You got to know it, though. And so practices like this make you get to the point to where you're picking, like you get to the point to where you stand up and you say it, and you ain't even worried about what I'm saying. Even if I shift my eyes, I did it to a lady in the last class, and she was right. She was gone. She had it right. And I did like that to her, threw her totally off. It threw y'all, threw totally off. Don't let your outside circumstances throw you off. You got to know. You got to know every period, every semicolon, every comma. You know it just that well. They tell me, Brother Hagin used to quote the Bible. He'd come and preach, and then he just quote. Like he opened his Bible, and he just start preaching. You ever said to one of his meetings, you go watch one of his tapes, go listen. He'd preach. He'd preach for an hour and a half, 2 hours without going to scripture, but he'll quote every scripture that he go to. And he'll quote it, and he'll say where it's at. Well, that's kind of what I'm gonna talk about tonight. That's a different breed of preacher. That's that don't just happen. That comes from a level of commitment. That don't just happen. That comes from a level of spending time with the Word. That comes from a consistency in staying down in that word so much to where you can get up here and say it, and you can preach it without having to open it. And nobody can tell you different. You know what? Sometimes things come up in life, we ain't got time to turn to the scripture. Ain't got time. You better know what you know. Living by the book. How you going to live by something you don't know? Huh? How you live by something that you don't know? Living by the book. That's the name of this class, ain't it? And so you need to know the book. And so the book of John is I love all the gospels, but the book of John is John wrote from a different perspective. You know, John felt like he was the one that Jesus loved the most. Y'all know that? John said, I'm the one. I don't care what y'all say. I don't care what he told you, Peter, talking about the rock and all that. I don't care about none of that. John said, Jesus loved me the most. You know, John was one of the only ones that lived out his life, too. You know, the rest of them jokers were getting killed. Boy, them jokers thought Jesus was literal when he said, be crucified with me. They was getting crucified, too. Some of them got crucified upside down. Some of them got martyred. Some of them got the head cut off. All kind of different. So John's the only one that really lived. And he just kind of faded out. Just kind of lived his own thing. John said, Jesus loved me. God loved me. I don't know what the rest of y'all talking about. God loved me. He don't want that for me. Right? And so John wrote a particular way when he was writing and his accounts of what Jesus was saying. And so I appreciate him. Write this down real quick before I go. Psalms 119. It's one of the longest psalms in the Bible, but Psalms 119. And he constantly, he constantly talking about the law, keeping your law, keeping the word, keeping the law, keeping your word. That word have I hid in my heart all over and over again. He just keep talking about it. And let me get over there real quick. Go over there real quick. We'll just skim through there for a second. And Psalms 119, it has a bunch of headings on the different parts of what I'm reading. It says the keep of God's law. The next one says purity, the fruit of the law. Eyes to see God's law. There's another one say prayer for understanding the law. You look at each section, it says, blessed art thou are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the how much? Whole heart. He just goes on in Psalm 118 is a good read because it's talking about keeping the law, not putting it down, binding it around your neck, keeping it in front of you. What's your screensaver on your phone? Like, how serious are you about the word of God? What place in the scheme of everything that you do in your life and everything you got going on, what place does the word play? See, you don't get to that next level. I want to be like, you don't get to that next Jesus level. You don't get like that with the word being a hobby. You don't get to that next level of manifestation, which everybody want next level, amen. Everybody want another level, amen. We don't get to that next level of manifestation with it just being something that you visit every now and then. I see apostle, and I pay attention to him. Since the beginning, he's been committed to the word. Since the beginning, I got some dates from my mom this afternoon, just some dates of when he started preaching and when he got saved. He started preaching 2 years after he got saved. He was a pastor 3 years after. Then he, for 7 years, then from 76, got to start past 76 to 83, he was pastoring the church on the job. So you hear the story he said about he dying in the tank car. You ever heard the story? You ain't never heard the story, you need to go back and listen to some more tapes. Because he said a lot. If you ain't never heard the story, that means you don't listen enough. He said he down in the tank called the little Bible, trying to read through the little light that's coming down to just read the word, just committed to it. You don't have that level of ministry without being committed to the word. So my last class, on it seems to be on this side of the covenant, this side of Jesus, seems to be that we're weaker. See, them Pharisees and Sadducees, and we be talking about them in vipers. They call them the vipers, right? But see, them Sadducees and Pharisees, they knew their law. They knew their law, and it was only the only person that could come in and uproot their whole little system that they made was somebody like Jesus. He was the only one that could do it, because otherwise, you came in there, and you're, all right, go in the courtroom. Do this. Go in the courtroom and start talking your noise about what's justified and what you're supposed to have, and watch one of them lawyers tie you up in legalities. that tie you up, and you'll be right. You got the pictures. You got the video. They got the legalities and tie you up. Well, I see the picture, and clearly that's them standing there. But the statutes say, because of this versus this, now that you can't, and tie you up because you don't know the law. Because you wasn't a student. So we get over here, and all things are mine. You're lying because you ain't got all things. I can speak to it in a move. It ain't never moved when you spoke to it. You know the truth. Truth make me free. You're still bound up. What's the problem? You're weak. We're weak in the study of the word. I said this in the last class. There's a powerful statement. I put down. It says, you're willing to do your daily devotion, but you won't devote your day. Talking in that last class, talking to this class about fully committed. Commit thy works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Delight thyself in the Lord, he gave you the desires of your heart. Huh? Huh? Acknowledge him in how many ways? All your ways, he direct your path. You want direction, give all your ways. The way you do that is living by this book with the word of God. You have to spend some time. Spend time. Spend all your time with the word. It shouldn't be a moment that the word ain't somewhere in your mind. I'm talking to the apostle today, and he just sat there talking to us for a little while, and he said, I go to the movies. And my mother go watch movies. And this. He said, I go watch a movie. But see, right there in the back of my mind, right there, that word coming up. I can't get away from it. Some other day, watching TV, and most of us, you know, they in the theater, in the house. Most of us be in that theater, and we never leave out. Turn your favorite movie on, put some popcorn on, and you ain't gonna never leave out. We made it now. This is what we've been working for. He's sitting up there. I walk past. They in there. Next thing I know, I come back. He in his office. In that word. Would you get up? Your movie on. Lord said, I want to talk to you. Would you get up? Yes, I don't know. Would you move? Question. How often is your mind in and on the word right now? All right, now don't answer. I don't want nobody saying it out loud. I want you to judge yourself, all right? All right. And whatever you're saying right now is only going to be amplified if you get some more money. It's only going to be amplified if you get freed up in other areas of your life. It's only going to be amplified. So if you're just playing around with it right now, you're going to play around with it more. If God take you to another level, or God allows you to go to another level, which is already done on us, inside of us anyway, but he understands the process, you're going to do the same thing. God ain't holding nothing back from you. You holding it back from you, and he keeping you from killing your crazy self. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say it. Come on, I know this ain't the one. I know you want to say thank you for blessing me. No, this is the one for keeping you from killing your crazy self. Go ahead, say it. Thank you, Lord. That's the one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for not taking me over there before I was ready to go over there because I don't be reading like I should. I thank you for not putting me in that position in ministry and giving me that responsibility when I haven't been responsible. Commit thy works, thought be established. Delight thyself in the Lord, give desires of your heart. Acknowledge in all your ways, he direct your path. Right here, John 15, go. John 15. Y'all over there read John chapter 15. And I'm just going to this one scripture, but this whole chapter, I may just read up a little bit more. I see some, one of the greatest things that I see in apostle. And I'm praying to God. I'm praying, but I'm not just praying for it. I'm being about it, right? Because you can pray. Give me that same anointing. God, give me that self-same anointing. That ain't how you're going to get it. You better do what they did. Do what they do. Being that just like their head is in the Bible. Huh? One of the greatest things is there is nothing else that takes precedent. I mean, even in conversation, even in small talk conversation, and he'll sit there and laugh with you and talk, but he's not awkward. He's not a holy roller. You know what I'm saying? He know how to have a regular conversation, but it's just eventually that's going to come up because that's how he breathes. And so all the manifestations that we see are because of that and that alone. I read the scripture, they say, many are called but chosen a few, but I chose to be chosen. Amen. See, I choose to be chosen by my choices. You get it? I choose to be a chosen few. Mm-hmm. God said he's no respecter of person. Mm-hmm. He dealt to every man how much? The measure of faith, right? Right? So that means everybody in the room got it, right? What's the possibility we're going to leave out this room after y'all graduate this class and we leave out of here and some of y'all ain't going to never be no more than what you are right now? It's possible. We don't want it, but it's possible. You might end up be the minute that's called and never be a chosen. I can't live like that. I've never been okay with the regular stuff. But you choose. The Bible says through desire, a man separated himself and intermeddled with wisdom. Through desire. He separated himself. And then he intermeddles with wisdom. Apply your heart to understanding. See, when you change, I don't know, this Lord showed me this. When you change from, watch this. I look up the word applies four times in the Old Testament, like three times in Proverbs, two times in Psalms. I don't know. But he said, apply your heart to wisdom. Then he go again, he say, teach me the number of days that I might apply my heart to wisdom. Apply your heart to understanding. Apply your heart to instruction. Apply your heart to knowledge. Let's see what we've been doing. We've been applying knowledge to our heart because we're playing around with these scriptures. So we read a little bit, or we read what we need for whatever manifestation we're trying to get at the time. Right? Or you find a promise so that you can start quoting your confessions so that promise, whatever you're trying to get, can come through. Yeah, it's self-centered meditation. Ain't never heard that before, huh? No. Just the word. Your whole word. Your whole word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Everything about it is what I love. Everything about it is what I want. I don't want to be nowhere else but in your word. Now remember what you're saying when you say in your word. Now, you remember that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You know, when you say you're in the word, you're talking about being in Jesus. John 15:7. Look at it. Read it. If you abide in it's red. Red? Is it red? Red. Okay, it's red. I just make sure it's red. He says what? Who is this talking right now to us?
Jesus.
All right. Now what he said? That's enough right there. We ain't got to talk about nothing else that's going to happen. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Well, that's power right there. We done made it to where you live in me. And I live. That's it. And what did it say after that? How much stuff you done asked for that wasn't done? How much stuff you prayed about and it's just, well, and then we just, you know how we do. Well, you know, they didn't wait upon the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Or we use a scripture as an excuse for another scripture ain't coming real to us. But in your patience, you know, we skip all the suddenlies and the straightways and the immediately and speedily, right? You ask what? Well, who will? No, God's will. Say God's will. No, it don't. It say God's will in there, don't it? No, it say you ask what God's will is. You ask, you say God's will is going to be done for you. That what it said. You saw it? That what it said. What it said? Who will you going to ask? Your will. So it says you going to ask what you want to ask, and that thing that you ask going to be done. Well, how that's going to happen? Because you're abiding in the vine. You look further. You abiding in Jesus. Jesus abiding in you. Your will becomes his will and his become yours. Now you begin to speak the words with the voice of Jesus. Because you are abiding. You're not visiting. Anybody visiting the kin folks over the holidays? Right? You go visit them, right? But you don't live there. You don't, that ain't your address. That ain't, sometimes you're happy you don't live there, amen. I'm ready to go home. I don't know why I'm over here right now. Right? You're not, that's not your abode. Stop visiting the word. Stop visiting Jesus. You ready? You have overcome them, little children. Because great is he that is. Then he that's in the world. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the. That's Jesus. He's already abiding. So where's the disconnect then? There's a disconnect. Soul. It's a disconnect in your soul. There's a disconnect in your soul. Because he's doing his part. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you. What? His words are already in you. Because he's his word. It's already inside of you. So what's the problem? What's the problem? Who the problem? I'm the problem. Huh? I can't hear you. Who the problem? We don't like to say it loud like you're shouting for a blessing. Who the problem? I'm the problem. I just don't want to take the time to abide in the vine. So I got a spread of scripture over here, a spread of scripture over there. I got a scripture right here. And I get deep on Sunday morning because we're reading the intercessory prayer. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I send my group me in, but then later on I forgot about what I grouped me about. There's a level of submerging that you do. You apply when you apply your heart to wisdom. Not wisdom to your heart. Not apply wisdom to your heart. You apply your heart to wisdom, all right? Wisdom. It's a pool of wisdom, right? So what we've been doing, we're dipping in the pool and rubbing it on our heart. We should just put your heart in the pool. Drown your heart in the wisdom. Well, I ain't got no time. Yeah, you do. Guarantee you do. Turn that off. Stop playing that for so long. Right? Cut that phone call, Shaw. What? Turn the internet off for a second. You got time. Definitely. You just got to apply your heart to it. Now, it'll get to the point if you apply your heart to the wisdom and keep searching through these words and searching through these scriptures. If you do it so much, it becomes a part of you. It becomes who you are. It becomes, it will come up before your old raggedy thoughts come up. It'll come up before you, the faith will jump up before your fear jump up. It'll become automatic. You know, like stuff like he give you desires of your heart. Right? I'll take all these scriptures and go back because what we've been trying to do is get the desires of our heart and then we get delighted in the Lord if he do something for us. No, it goes the other way around. Get it? Do you get it? If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. Verse 8, here is my Father. Glory, give glory to God, glory to God, glory to your name. Nobody want to hear all that. Give him glory. Nobody want he. That ain't how you give glory to you, Lord. No, that ain't how you give him glory. That's cool. Just keep doing that in church. Keep doing that. Praise the Lord for that. Doing praise and worship. But he really glorified like this. Read verse 8. Read it. Herein. All right, keep reading. I swear to God, like I could swear that we doing everything all day long to try to bear fruit. We're going to go to work tomorrow because we're looking for fruit. We're going to sow some seed next week because we're looking for fruit. Everybody want fruit. Nobody don't want no poison. Nobody want an empty cupboard. Everybody doing everything they doing. Everything they doing. Hold on. Hey, you'll work 40 hours a week a word. How about that? Clock yourself. Fruit. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my word. Let me go back to verse 1. I want to do a little reading of this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that is in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3, you read. Ready, read. How you get clean? No word, no clean. Verse 4. No fruit. If you don't live there, no fruit. All right. Question. You ready? I like to keep it 100, right? Keep it 100%. Tell the truth, right? If we don't tell the truth, we lie to ourselves, then it's just a foolishness, right? So keep 100. Do you have all the fruit that you want? No. Come on, answer me. No. A lady stood up in church yesterday, and she said, why do people see stuff in the Bible, but they just don't do it? My pastor came out early. He gave us we got 3 messages yesterday. We got 3 sermons. He came out, did a Sunday school class there, the LD College Sunday school. He preached up until about 10 maybe, a little 10 out of 10. We sang a little bit. Then we only sang about 15, 20 minutes. He came out, went in about another hour and a half, right? Dismissed, walked off stage and started asking people, did you get what I said? Did you understand what I was saying? Does it make sense to you? And then started preaching to us again. Just coming out of him. That's a commitment. It's coming out of him. And the woman stood up, he asked the lady in Sunday school, she said, what, you got any questions? She stood up, she said, I just don't understand why people see stuff in the Bible and they just don't do it. Now, why they see you're not supposed to do it and they still do it? I don't understand. Me neither. Everybody say fruit. Come on, say it again, say fruit. Say it again, say fruit. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. All the other times that you separated from the word are fruitless. You have fruitless conversations. Hi, amen, me, come on. You have fruitless conversations, you have fruitless moments, you have fruitless. And if it ain't fruitless, it's barren. How many barren moments do we have out of a week? Every time the word is there, there's a possibility for a birth. It's a possibility for a miracle every time the word is involved. It's a possibility for something to birth and some fruit to sprout up out the ground every time that the word is there. The sower soweth the word. We got barren moments because we're trying to bear fruit without the vine. We're not abiding in the vine. Verse 5, read. I am the vine. I am is the vine. You the branches. Remember that, all right? Remember that when you wake up and you try to live life and try to make decisions on your own, and you try to figure stuff out and try to do things without consulting, you're just a branch. See, what God really trying to get us to do is, Lord, tell you this, ask you a question. He really trying to get you to say, Lord, you know. Can he drive on a little? Lord, you know. Thou knowest, Lord. What we start doing? We get to running off with our ideas because you're not abiding in the vine. Read verse 5 again. Ready, read. That same, the same, the same, the same, well, who that is? Huh? Is that you though? It's Jesus talking now. Come on, come on. It's Jesus. He preaching. He preaching to us. We can read this. That's a message right there. That's a good preaching right there. We don't need no rhetoric or nothing else. It's a good message. What's that last line? You ever thought about how stupid you'd be acting? Come on, y'all. When you start, you slow down. Meditation does this. When you take this scripture and you stop reading it because you knew it already, or you stop reading it so you can turn your papers in the morning with your prayers, right? Or you skip reading because you're quick reading, if you really read because I want to know what you're saying to me. I want to know what's going on, right? If I slow down, then you start seeing how crazy you really are. He said, for without me, what's that last line? So that means whatever you're trying to do without him, you ain't doing nothing. You think you're doing something, but you ain't doing nothing. Because without me, I laugh at myself. I start reading stuff like this, and I look at myself and I say, look at you, thought you were doing something, wasn't you? Verse 6, we get scared right here. We get scared, verse 6, go. Think you're going to hell now, huh? Come on, keep riding, keep reading. That ain't got to be hell right now. You might be casting the fire. You ain't got what you need. Life ain't bearing fruit. You in the fire right now, partner. Verse 7. Verse 8. Nine. Verse 10. Oh, read that one again. Oh, read it again. Keep reading.
Even as I have kept my father's commandments and abide in his love.
Verse 11.
These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be
full. Is your joy full? Is your joy full? Is your joy full? Pastor told me something the other day, and I realized you wake up and you're feeling kind of funny, and you don't really feel up to par. Check your word intake. Check your soul, right? Your soul. We've been talking about your soul, right? Something going wrong with your soul. There's somewhere a part of your soul that's kicking in right now that ain't got no word in it. It's funny how you know the truth, huh? We know I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. I'm more than a conqueror. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Come on. So I quote him. Come on. He do exceeding abundantly above all that they ask or think. Come on. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He making me lie down. He guided me. He do all that. Still water. The shadow of death. I walk through the shadow of death. I fear no evil. God is not giving me the spirit of fear. Love and above. We know all of them, don't you? Quoting them out. What's the problem? You got to live there. It's the applying part. Now remember what applying is now. What we've been doing. I like that. What we've been doing is quote that scripture. What that scripture we just said? God has not given me the spirit of fear. What? Love and a sound mind. It's the absolute truth. Ain't it? God is not a man that he should lie. If he said he'd make it good, right? But our problem is we isolate that scripture and we take that and we try to apply it to our heart in a moment that sounds, it's kind of scary. Because God is not giving me the spirit of fear. And you don't realize that it's not going to be that scripture. Sometimes it'll be this one that's abiding in the vine so that you know my love. And if you know my love, then God is not giving me for you. See, we quote, God is not giving us the spirit of fear, but the power of love and sound mind. I'm scared the whole time. We quoted, we scared before we started it. We thought we were going to say it and not be scared and still be scared after. Before it, you quoted it scared and you're still scared. How can this be? Because we the applying part. See, there's a level of submerging that you got to do. Come on, we live by the book. Amen. I said we live by the book. Amen. You can quit if you don't want to do this. You can be a mediocre quit. You might as well go to glory right now. Give it up. Let it go right now if you're not willing to do this. Because if you don't, if you're not willing to do this, you're going to have a tough time here. You're going to have a rough, tough time. You're going to barely make it by. We've been pool of wisdom, the pool of the word. We pull, and we take it and we put our heart right there. And we scoop up and we try to rub it on our heart. Well, you know, you don't get much from that. We talking about soaking. You can't soak in the shower. Amen. Come on. The water, and bless God for the shower. Please keep taking showers. What I'm saying is, we used to do the Mexican standoff or the Indian standoff. We used to call them when we was little, because you go in there and you ain't want to jump in the shower. It's such bad little boy stuff. I don't know, little boy stuff. We get in there, so we go wash up. We don't want to get in the shower or get in the bathtub. We try to do it quick, so we just take a towel under the sink and. You know we ain't getting nothing done, but it's just the idea that you rub some soap on you, right? You just, right? You don't get nothing done. Never soak. You still got some spots that need some work. Some more work than others, right? You still got a little funk under there. Like it's a little, you still got a little trouble. Right? Because ain't no soaking. So we've been wiping off. You get it? They're applying. That's what I'm talking about. We've been wiping off. There is no halfway to do this. There ain't no percentage shares. Commit thy works. I mean, all of them. Commit thy works. Your thoughts be established. Well, the ones you don't commit, they're not established. I'm sorry. Next level. Everybody say next level. Next level. Come on, say it again. Say next level. Come on, say it a little louder. Say next level. See, next level. So like, that's what we're looking for. Next level. Like, you're going up into another. You want another level. You want another level, right? We want another level. We'll go to another level. See, what people don't understand is to go higher, you got to go deeper. To go high. Matter of fact, you don't even have to worry about high as long as you go deep enough. Basic seed time and harvest, basic planting. When the seed is never planted up in the air. Huh? It is never thrown up in the air and the seed, nope. Down, deep in the earth. And it just spring forth and we know it not how. It's going to do what it's going to do. Seek first. And it's rising, what happened? Shall be. Strongest word in the English dialect. Shall. What we been doing? Not applying what? It's a good one. I'm glad you said that. Not applying what? No, 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 no. You got to hear me, though. You got to hear me. You've been applying the word. Oh, you've been applying the word. Oh, you've been applying the word. You ain't no problem. You've been applying the word. Yes, you have. But it's something else you need to apply. You apply all of you. You get it? Everything. All in. You apply your whole self to the word. Ain't nothing else that ain't surrounded by the word. Everything you got is surrounded by the word. You abide in there. You abide in there. You just took your foot in. You didn't peep through the window. You live in there. It's not a vacation. See, most people think this message about the soul and soaking. They think this is something that we're going to do for a little while until we get some kind of manifestation, and then we're going on to the next thing. This is forever. Forever. No, I was saying forever. Forever, ever? Forever. Get it? Where we at? Verse 9? Oh, verse 12, all right. Go ahead, verse 12. Read, ready, read. Now, the Lord showed me something right here. Verse 13, and if you can't, let's not read 13 and 14 from a selfish perspective. Can we do that? Can we read it from, instead of a taking perspective, can we read it from a giving perspective? Now we mostly read it from a taking perspective because we, and it's praise the Lord that we receive, but I want to show you something. Verse 13, read it. That's a good verse, huh? Y'all know that scripture. Y'all heard that before, huh? We talking about Jesus laying out his life for you, huh? Verse 14, read it. So you my friends if you do whatsoever I do. Greater love has no man than if he lay down his life for his friend. Then he says, you are my friends if you do, if you keep my commandments. So right now, we his friends. So that means he our what? He's our friend too? Then the verse 13 says, go ahead, read it. Do I have to say? All right, come on. We're gonna do it again. You ready? Great love is no man. No. Great love is no man, and that he lay down his life for a friend. The next scripture said. You are my friend. So if you do so, whatever I command, you my friends. And then friends, we friends. So now we friends. So now he my friend too, right? So now Jesus, I am a friend of God, right? Jesus my friend, right? He my friend, right? So greater love has no man than he laid down his life for his friend. So now it's saying if he our friend, we need to lay down ours for him. We need to keep the commandments. And when you keep the commandments, you're actually laying down what you think your life is. You laying down what you think your will is, what your plan is. Many are the plans of a man. There's a way that seems right to a man. But lay down your plans, because there's no greater love than you give it all. Well, I understand what we do. I understand we're still very self-oriented. We're still very selfish. Jesus did nothing for vainglory. How many miracles did Jesus do for himself? I'll wait. Shoot, he ain't need none. Right? We out here hustling trying to get our needs met. We got to grow up. Everybody say grow up. Come on, say grow up. Come on, say it again, grow up. So we behind, we got to grow up. For God so loved the world, you know it. Should not perish. What greater love? And we get to, he said he's obedient even unto death of the cross. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection, and we get quiet in the fellowship of his suffering. Be a microphone, but we start whispering in the last two parts. And the power of his fellowship of his suffering. Then we go over the scripture. And the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these that I go unto my Father. But this is typical people. It's typical, selfish, self-motivated people. It's not bad people. We just real self-prone. We real us. Right? We do a lot for us. If I can help you with your sowing and your reaping, can I help you right quick? If you would sow, and the point is giving your life, you know, when you go to work, they say, what you do for a living, right? Well, why they call it what you do for a living? Because, you know, your livelihood, which is keeping them lights on, the place that you're staying, the way that you get around, put your clothes on your back, the way you eat. You have to spend money for that to do all those things. Livelihood, right? You got it? Your livelihood. So what you do for a living? So if you really realize when you're sowing, you you don't have to think about the harvest, because the harvest is automatic. Because the harvest is on the inside of the seed. All you need to do is locate the soil and give your life. The reason why things don't come back like it should happen, should come back, or sometimes stuff don't work, or even when you're praying, sometimes stuff don't happen like you think it should happen, is because we're doing it in vain glory. That doesn't mean that you're so vain, you think it's all about you. It doesn't mean that you're an uppity person. You don't have to be that. It's just you have to switch your mind and understand that the beginning of it all is give. Actually, you can be nothing else but a giver. Receiving, you just in position. You get it? Receiving is just, come on. Receive, come on. Stand up. Hold the book out. All right. You say, I'm a receiver. I took that. That's taking. That's not receiving. That's taking. The only way I can receive is by being in position. And it's amazing that the receiving position, it has the same posture as the giving one. If we just get out of our vainglory, right? It's just vainglory. The works that I do, so you do also in greater. You can sit down. The works that I do, so you do also in greater works than these. We got to get out of our vainglory. Get out of our mind. Get out of us. Apostle came out and he doggone there preached for 3 hours. Maybe 4. Right? And then he made a statement. He said, Now, this man, listen, let me, this man ain't got no bills. He got nothing to pay for. He got a $30 million jet. He got $2 million RVs. He stay in a big old house. He got all kind of cars. He could have been doing all that. Not only is he here today at church, but then he went overtime and the score wasn't even tied. And then he makes a statement. He said, I'm about y'all. He said, the reason I'm out here is because I love y'all. If you get that, you'll win. The works that I do, so you do also. In greater works than these, I go to my Father. We won't lay hands on the sick, raise the dead, blind eyes open, all that. And praise the Lord for all that. But let's fellowship in suffering. Let's give our life for a friend. Let's lay down. Well, I need to rest. No, get up and read that scripture. I want to watch it. No. Read the scripture. Amen. Amen. Amen.